Welcome to the Digiday Plus Deep Dive. I am Brian Morrissey. I am joined by Sahil Patel. We are going to talk today about YouTube and publishers looking to maybe diversify a little bit from Facebook and where video is going. Sahil, welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, so you wrote a pair of stories this week that I think touched on this. One was about magazine publishers like Fast Company and Inc. focusing more on YouTube. You also wrote about Now This, a brand that was built on Facebook looking to diversify. What is going on here?
So to start with the magazine publishers first, many of them are looking at a sustainable, smart way to build out a video business. Right now, that's YouTube. In terms of actually bringing revenue back, the ability to have revenue over time as well. So whether it's Fast Company, Inc., The Atlantic, they're definitely taking a YouTube-first strategy because it, one, provides them the audience, but also a scalable revenue that they can sell back to advertisers as well. Mm-hmm. With respect to Now This, they themselves have said they're not scaling back on Facebook in any way. They're still pretty big on the platform. They continue to have a sizable audience there. But it, you know, in building out a massive digital media company, they're looking at other places, more places to put their videos. And YouTube is a big one that they're initially expanding to for a variety of reasons. They themselves will tell you it's a place to test out longer form programming that could work. And then from that, they could lead to more longer form stuff on over to the top platforms. Television even possibly. So YouTube is a big focus area for them.
It's funny. It's kind of a little bit of back to the future because Everyone started at YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then there was this little strange era in which everyone rushed into Facebook video.
Because Facebook was easy.
And what do you mean by easy?
Well, I mean, just look at the way the platform.
I think I kind of know because considering that we created like some sort of Snoop Dogg video, like, I don't know, Snoop Dogg was involved in some brand controversy and it got like millions of views.
Yeah.
It took Hannah like, I don't know, like 25 minutes to make.
Exactly. The idea is, I mean, not a shock to anybody, but the newsfeed format, right? That short video format that would just play in the newsfeed and you'd scroll by and autoplay on silent. The way Facebook built up its video system made it very easy to quickly scale a ton of views because it was 3 seconds, it was silent.
And people fell in love with those views. They bragged about them.
It was amazing to be, whether you were talking to advertisers or anybody, like, oh, we did 500 million views on Facebook. But, you know, how many of those were watched for more than 3 seconds? You know, how often did people actually watch those videos instead of just scrolling by and managing to land over your video for 3 seconds?
And how much money did you make off
that? Yeah, how many of those were monetized views? Very, very few. So it made it very easy. And that's why you saw a lot of smaller publishers be able to claim these very impressive sounding statistics when really it was just very quick and easy to scale an impression statistic, for lack of a better word, on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. And the longer videos have always done better on YouTube.
Right, obviously. Yeah, because it's a video platform, right? The thing that people love to say about YouTube, since I started covering it years ago, is it's the world's second largest search engine, and it's the world's largest video search engine. Yeah. People go to YouTube to watch videos, and that allows you to actually produce and distribute and get people to watch longer
content. It's kind of an obvious point.
Yeah.
But it's an important
one. But look at what's happening with Facebook Watch, right? The fundamental thing that Facebook needs to fix, if it can even fix it, is convincing people that they should go to Facebook to watch videos.
Yeah, people don't go to Facebook to watch videos.
Not yet.
But when you have, I don't even know what the number is now, however many billion people access it on a daily, if not weekly basis, you can just divert like 10% and the numbers are pretty big.
The idea is that eventually, yes, that will be the case, but it hasn't been proven out yet.
Right. Actually, I had Ilan Zakori here, from the president of Genius, and we're talking about this very topic because Genius has about 15 people on video and they're completely about YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense for them because, you know, they were built off people searching for lyrics and now people search for music artists all the time and they have programming related to that.
Right. And it's, the thing about YouTube is not everyone's going to make a ton of money, but there's a consistency there. There's a reliability. Mm-hmm. You can forecast how many views you will be able to get, how that will translate into revenues because you know what the CPMs are. Like there is a way to actually model
money.
That.
For most people, it's small money.
Yeah.
So where is the money then in video? It's high end, right?
Yeah. I mean,
so why do it? Why do it if you're small? If you've got like if you're putting like a dozen people against video, is it like a vanity play? Is it a brand play, or is it a real revenue opportunity?
I think if it's a dozen people against video, the way, whether it was Fast Company and Inc., The Atlantic, it's clear that they're not video companies. They don't want to be video companies. They're not coming in and being like, oh, we pivoted to video and now we're going to be just this massive producer of video and we're going to get scale and all that. It's a piece of the pie. Let's be fair. Video still has the most lucrative ad dollars. If you can do it well, you can make money really well, make a decent amount of money from advertising. But if it's just a piece of your business, then it's fine. Because you can say, we're getting all this, all these brand dollars from these slick documentaries and these, you know, mid-form, long-form shows that we produce, that we program for these different platforms. But you're not living or dying by video. I think that's why you can justify saying, we'll have a dozen people on it, but we're not trying to do 100 videos a month. You know, we're trying to do a dozen, and we can build a sustainable part of our business from that.
I think one of the big themes from this year is diversification. Diversification in audience, diversification in revenue. And this is happening here in particular with video, right? Mm-hmm. Diversification of platforms. Mm-hmm. We're covering YouTube Live emerging as a little bit of a platform. BuzzFeed is doing, I know you're looking forward to the royal wedding. You can watch it Twitch.
Yeah,
Watch BuzzFeed News' coverage on Twitch. BuzzFeed has an exclusive window, right?
With Apple News.
With Apple News. Mm-hmm. So is that something that you're seeing?
Yeah, I think that's the focus, right? You're a serious video company if you have a multifaceted video business, and it can't be just branded content or advertising as a whole. You got to build out a licensing business. You got to build out all these different aspects of your business that is not just entirely tied to how much money can I get from an advertiser. So you see that BuzzFeed News doing it, right, with the license to Apple News. There's a reason a lot of these publishers are looking to sell to Netflix, sell to some of these streaming platforms, sell to television networks. That's production money. That should be a part of your video business. You should have a studio model, but you should also have a licensing aspect of it. You should also have an advertising aspect of it, if it makes sense. Even subscriptions, like all these things should go into your business, and you're increasingly seeing a lot of the bigger distributed media companies explore those options pretty aggressively these days.
So it seems like there's a big divide now between the people who are quote unquote serious mm-hmm. about video and those that are dabbling.
Right. It's like you have the serious ones, which you would say are the well-funded distributed media companies, whether we're talking about Vice, Group 9, BuzzFeed, Vox, etc. Then I think you have the middle of the pack, which I think is the part of the industry that has been hurt the most by Facebook's changes. We're talking about Little Things, Mike, all of these companies that really did the pivots to video. They saw the mm-hmm. quick scale you could find on Facebook, and they pivoted, and then the dollars and the revenue never came to the extent that they wanted it to. Those have been the type of companies that have been hit the hardest. Then you have the Atlantics and the Fast Companies and the Inks of the world, where, again, video is just a piece of the business.
It's a piece of what they do.
Yeah, and they can make it profitable and sustainable, and it's fine, but they're not reliant on it. Those companies are going to mm-hmm. be fine. We don't know yet if the big guys, the serious guys, are going to be fine, because there's still a lot of things they need to figure out. But really, as you can see...
So what are those things that they need to figure out? Like where licensing fits into the model?
Yeah, just in general, a diversified portfolio. You know, you look at any television network, studio, all these major media companies, there's not just one way they're making money off of their business. Like, yes, you should be producing shows that you can sell to Netflix, and they'll own that IP, and that's okay. Then you should also be doing stuff where you're distributing on your own platforms, or you're licensing the library that you have to different over-the-top streaming platforms or distributors, whether it's in the US or internationally. There should be a lot of different things you're doing, and they all have to be growing at a healthy clip to be a legitimate video business, and they're all trying to figure that out right now. Because for a lot of them, it's still wide majorities branded content and advertising.
Okay, next week you're going to be at our Digiday Video Summit. Depending on when this comes out, it might be this week, but it's going to be Monday to Wednesday in Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. It's going to be hot.
Yeah.
What are the big topics that you think are going to be repeatedly addressed there?
So, you know, bouncing off of this conversation, I think one of the biggest ones is, when you look at sort of the video landscape, it is very much Netflix and YouTube and then everybody else. Yes, there are more and more serious players entering or growing in the industry. obviously Amazon with their all the stuff that they're doing around Prime. Hulu's growing, even though at least for right now it's in the U.S.
Pluto TV
is a really good long tail right now for a lot of publishers. More on that soon. But no, they're a lot of interesting players in this space. You know, networks themselves have launched their own subscription streaming services and have been able to collect a decent amount of subscribers for it. But really, when we talk about the video business in terms of what's getting the most usage, where are the most dollars, who's controlling the way the industry's going, it's Netflix for the premium high-end television long-form stuff, TVs and movie shows, TV shows and movies. And then you have YouTube for their short-form web stuff. They're controlling a significant majority of what is actually happening in the industry. So it's them, and then it's everybody else, and it's about how everybody else can both coexist and also play with those two platforms. That's the big one. And then from that, another thing that you're going to be hearing a lot of from people over the next year, I think, is the idea of intellectual property. What, you know, how you should balance and weigh selling off things that you're making to a Netflix, to a platform or a television network, for the quick buck now versus retaining some of that or all of that for the potential for more revenue.
It's interesting because there'll probably be two different sets of conversations going on in some ways, because there's going to be a set of conversations of people who are the quote unquote serious guys. And then there's going to be a totally different set of conversations for the people who they've got 10 people, they've got 15 people in video, right?
Right. Yeah. It's what the Atlantic, Fast Company, Inc., all those publishers, Fatherly, are concerned about is not the same as what, you know, BuzzFeed, Group 9 Media, Vox Media are thinking about right now, at least.
Right. Okay. See you. Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.